Hi guys, welcome back to Buzz Behind Sports. I am your host for today, Gershom. And I just had the opportunity to ask Mr. Parth Pandya from our corporate relations teams here at IASM very interesting questions about career in sports. He touched on very major topics such as the importance of networking. And he spoke about his personal experiences in the Qatar World Cup, FIFA World Cup, and also in the national games that just happened. So let's not wait any further. Let's dive right into the podcast. Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of Buzz Behind Sports and IASM Initiative. Today, we have with us Mr. Parth Pandya, who is an integral member of the IASM Corporate Relations team. Without much ado, I welcome him on the show. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
So before we get into the details of everything, I just want to know, how did this journey of getting into sports management actually begin? Because we talk about now how the market is, you know, evolving and there are more opportunities. But a few years ago, it was not the case. So how does it really feel to get into an industry which wasn't really mainstream or popular at that time?
So it's actually a very funny and interesting story. What happened was, I was actually pursuing my CA before I thought of getting into sports management. And I remember it was the second level of my CA exams that was called IPCC at that time. And I had my exams in, I think it was May 2018. And I had a local cricket tournament that was just 2 weeks before the main IPCC exams. And I had a choice to make. Of course, any rational person would have gone to just make that call and start studying for the exams rather than wasting time playing a local cricket tournament. But I actually chose not to study and opted to play for that tournament. And I was very convinced that this is going to be a tournament that is going to give me something in return. I didn't know what, but I was sure that something might happen. And we actually won that tournament. And that just made me realize that, okay, sports is something that I think I'm always going to love. And then the next exam that came, I eventually failed. But that also made me realize that CA is not the right thing for me. So then by the time I completed my bachelor's, it was 2019, and we had the Cricket World Cup 2019 going on in England. So I remember on the day of the finals, because everyone, all the Indians were very sad because we lost to New Zealand. But the next thing that we did was support New Zealand, hoping that New Zealand would win the World Cup. But when England actually won it, even I was disappointed that time. And I remember that night, I was just watching the TV and was very sad. And my dad just came and asked me that, what are your plans now? So that was a sudden question that actually shook me. And I didn't have anything to say. And dad just gave me a thought that, why don't you do something in sports? Why don't you go abroad? So that night was, I just couldn't think of anything. But the next day, I actually started studying about what can be done in sports. And that is where I found that, okay, there are these courses that I don't know why I did not search about these courses happening in India. Right. I did search about the courses happening abroad, UK, Australia being one of the two countries that I actually looked for. And that is where the whole journey began. And then I started researching and then eventually got into studying masters in sports events management.
Right. Great. We're going to get into that, your masters in the UK. But before that, you're also in the corporate relations team, right, in IASM. So how does being a sports management professional go hand in hand with something like a corporate relations? Because we're very, you know, well-versed with the fact that you're part of the internships team and the placements team. So which is a very happening, you know, as a student, I can tell you that every day there are new internships coming up and it depends on what is really your thing to choose. But how does having corporate relations and being a sports management professional go hand in hand is what I want to ask.
See, there are various advantages of being in corporate relations, but I'll just highlight the one key aspect that I feel has helped me also. It's that the kind of network that you make in this industry.
Right.
Being in corporate relations, out and out daily, your work includes meeting people, getting in touch with these organizations, these events. And the only key takeaway that you have is you build a connect with someone or the other from a particular organization or a particular event that is going to help you to gain more insights about this industry in particular.
Right.
So that is one of the most biggest advantage of being in corporate relations, and the reason why I also chose to do that is because I knew that this will give me an opportunity to get to know the industry much more in detail before I actually decide what is it that I wanted to do.
Right. So, so you talk about networking from a ISM point of view, from a campus point of view, but personally, for a budding sports management professional who's, you know, aspirant, I would say more technically, but so what is the importance of networking for them, and how does somebody who is just getting into the field before they're into a college or, you know, into ISM or stuff like that, how much importance is it to network and, you know, get with like-minded people, and, you know, what role does it play in, you know, future, you know, your aspirations and your goals of becoming a sports management professional?
Networking in our industry is very important, because the kind of industry that we are in, it is actually small right now.
Right.
When we look from look at it from outside, it does feel that, okay, sports is a very huge industry, but the kind of people and the people that are working in the industry know each other, and the people who are sitting at the top level, right, they are actually aware of what the others are doing. So the reason for having a strong network is that, for especially for someone who's pursuing sports management or even before getting into sports management, is that if you have these connects with the right people, even before you are secured of getting your degree in hand, you never know, but you will actually land up in a good volunteering internship,
right,
or even a job even before you have your degree.
Right.
And that can only be possible with the right kind of network that you do.
Right.
And that is where networking becomes so crucial. And when I say networking, it can happen by meeting people at these events that happen or the matches that we go and look out for. I mean, as fans, what we do is we go and watch the game. But when you're there in the industry, your mindset suddenly changes, and it is not just about watching the game anymore, but also going and meeting people.
Right.
And then there are platforms like LinkedIn that could help you the best to get in touch with these people.
Right. You know, once you've networked, right, you do learn that there are a lot of verticals in sports in itself. You know, being a sports management professional, there are a lot of verticals you can get into, be it broadcasting or be it content or, you know, operations or stuff like that. So could you shed a little bit of light as to what the different verticals are? And as somebody who's just gotten into the field, is it really important to make a decision as to this is what I'm going to pursue? Or, you know, should they come with a more chilled mindset saying that I'm going to try as much as things as possible and then figure out what I'm going to do?
So the thing that I have seen with almost everyone, including me, was that before I actually thought of doing sports management and while I started doing it, the idea everyone has it in their mind is that this is a very glamorous industry. From outside, you think, okay, I want to do sports. That means that you want to be on the ground or you're going to manage Virat Kohli or Mahendra Singh Dhoni. But the reality is very different. When you get inside this industry, when you start studying about sports management, you actually realize that a lot more is involved into making a particular event successful.
Okay.
And when we talk about that, it is not only about operations or managing an athlete, but there are various verticals that you can explore being into sports management. There is a lot about data analytics that is coming up.
Right.
Esports as an entire sporting industry has come up.
True.
Then there are, as you mentioned, broadcasting, content. Then there are other verticals like ad ops, sales ops, travel ops. Hospitality industry in sports has become so big right now that when you look at these events happening around IPL, World Cup, there were organizations that used to specifically focus on HNI travel, HNI sales.
Right.
So all these things into sports has also developed. So it is not, I mean, what people used to think versus what actual reality is that you can only understand when you start studying about sports. But as you asked me correctly that whether a person should have something in mind before joining or not, I would still say, because we don't know what the industry is about. If you are coming with a particular mindset that, okay, I just want to be on the ground, so I'll just do operations. But you never know if you are good at sales or good at business development. And that will only happen when you start working on various internships, various volunteering opportunities, even jobs for that matter. Let's say if you're working in an organization for 2 years, that is where you can take a call that, okay, I have understood this entire side of the vertical that I'm working in.
Right.
Maybe now is the time to grow more and maybe explore some other vertical, is when you will actually understand which vertical is the right fit for you.
True.
And you can't have that set in mind even before you start studying that.
Right. That's great. I think, you know, for any sporting management professional, just such as myself as well, it becomes really important to understand each aspect of how an event runs so that, you know, you know where you feel at place at. Going a little bit back from, you know, your working days to your college days, you finished your master's at the Leeds Beckett University in the United Kingdom. So it's a two-part question. I think my first part question is, what are your thoughts on people who would like to go abroad to pursue sports management, and your personal experience as well studying in this university?
See, going abroad, that is one thing that a lot of people have asked me. And honestly, if I want to give an answer to that, it depends a lot on whether your financial condition also allows you to do that. Right. Secondly, there are loans that you can take. There are scholarships that you can apply. Right. But again, one thing that even I did not think of, and that's a mistake that I had done, was that people don't realize that whether you'll land up with a job when you go abroad. Right. The only thing we think is that we'll get that freedom of staying in a country, we'll stay alone, we'll stay away from our family, enjoy a life, and then come back and we'll start a job with a very high package. Right. But that is something that actually does not happen. So the part of whether you want to go abroad or you can go abroad depends on those conditions.
Right. But does it give you a slight edge though?
Honestly, it doesn't. It doesn't give you a slight edge unless and until you know how to use it.
Right.
A lot of people just think that going abroad will give you that edge, but that is not the case.
Okay.
It all depends on, again, the kind of network that you make, the kind of people that are going to give you that job after you complete your course.
Right.
All those things taken into consideration will determine whether that was an edge or was that a mistake for you.
Right.
It became a mistake for me, but then later on, I figured out a way of how I can, you know, rectify it and then move ahead.
Right.
So I was lucky in that sense, and because I'll tell you about my experience. So when I went abroad, I had no clue of how I will land up with a job or something like that, and COVID struck at that point of time. So I was lucky enough that my lectures, all the studying and everything happened before COVID.
Right.
But the practical experience that I wanted to get in those situations, that wasn't possible because of COVID.
Okay.
So then when I came back in February 2021. That was 1.5 months of me being in the UK. And then when I came back, I must have applied to around 15-20 organizations, but none of them actually replied to me.
Right.
So that is where I understood that, okay, going there doesn't mean that you will always have an edge.
Right.
Then I figured out ways, figured out different strategies. And then the only thing that helped me was network.
Right.
And the reason why I got this job also is because of the networking that happened at some point of time.
Right.
So that is one thing. And secondly, the experience of going abroad is really good. I mean, the one thing that not only will help you professionally, but also as a person individually, is because when you're staying alone, there are a lot of things that you have to manage along with your studies.
Right.
Because we have a culture in India where we stay in families jointly and all. There you are going to stay with people that you don't know.
Right.
And suddenly when they all come at a place together and figuring out how each individual is, that is a very different game when it comes to developing your individual self.
Right.
So that was a very unique experience. And also the fact that managing both the things together, your studies, your academics there as compared to what your academics is here, is very different.
Okay.
So managing your studies plus managing what you're going to do at home with the new people that you're staying, it also gives you a better idea of how you are as a person, and multitasking is something that you're definitely going to learn.
Right.
So those are the advantages also that you have when you go abroad.
Okay. And your experience in the United Kingdom, and also any instances or, you know, in college, you know, where it was, you know, something that you remember your time in UK by.
Yeah. So what happened, I mean, the most funniest thing was that because we were a group of, I think 30 in the batch that we were studying, and it was like 11 or 12 Indians, as the others were from different parts of the world.
Okay.
And what they used to see us doing is, when, let's say, if we have an assignment submission to do, let's say, tomorrow,
right,
we would be chilled out and we would be roaming around and we would be chilling with our friends and everything. And just one night before, we used to start doing our assignments and complete it and then submit the next day.
Right.
So that was a very tricky thing that we still used to do there, because, again, we didn't know what the education is going to be. We just thought it's going to be the same way that it happens here. But we took that risk and we actually somehow managed to submit all the assignments on time. But when we met our friends from those different parts of the world, and when they saw us doing that, some of them even tried replicating what we were doing, but they failed at that.
Yeah.
So that was a very funny thing that happened. But yeah, the experience was quite good. I got a lot to play as well, play cricket there professionally. So that was another amazing experience that I had. Again, COVID had a lot of things that COVID took away a lot of things that I could have actually done, but I won't regret the experience, right, and the time that I have spent in the UK.
I think I speak for all of us here. I mean, at least most of us here, that that is one way that we all do assignments. Moving on, I think I want to talk mainly about, you know, your works recently. You've been part of the FIFA World Cup in 2022, which was held in Qatar. You were on site working there. You were also worked in the national games, you know, where IASM was the strategic and knowledge partner. So your learnings, and also more than learnings, the challenges that has been faced there, and if you could also touch upon how the scenario is different, because you've been studying in the UK and you've probably been part of, you know, events there as well. So one major aspect that you see as a difference between events organized in the UK and how things are done here, and more so your challenges faced in the last two assignments that I spoke about.
So when you talk about events in particular, it doesn't matter whether the event is happening here or whether the event is happening in any part of the world. Because see, all the events come up with a set protocol that the ultimate idea is you want to make the event successful. So it doesn't matter about the location. Yes, when you go there and work at a particular location, it comes with their own laws, regulations. So that is something that you need to keep in mind.
Yeah.
But apart from that, all the events had the same mindset that you have to make sure that the event is successful. Mm-hmm. And that is why they need people from the sports industry who are there, who know about this particular sport, who are eventually going to let that success happened to that particular event.
Right.
So that was one thing. The FIFA World Cup in Qatar was a wonderful experience to be a part of. What even I thought when I was going there was that I might to get work, like I would get to directly work inside the stadium, but that wasn't the case.
Right.
So we were handling a group of people who had come to watch that entire tournament spanning for a day, like 35 day period.
Yeah.
And the whole thing that we had worked was something not on the ground, but outside of it.
Okay.
And that is the reality that people need to understand, that not everything happens on the ground. It is right from bringing the people to watch that particular event to taking them back is what actually makes the event successful also.
True.
So that was about FIFA World Cup Qatar. Talking about the 37 national games, that was a huge event in context of what the revolution of sports industry is happening in India.
Right.
It actually laid a good foundation for a lot of budding athletes also to represent their individual states and play at such a high level, because eventually those are the athletes that are going to represent India in Olympics, Paralympics and all the other events as well. So working in a government-led event is also a very unique experience.
Right.
And as I said, the ultimate purpose of any event, irrespective of where it is happening, it's only about making that event successful.
I mean, you speak about, you know, the successful management of an event, and you speak about also the fact that you weren't allowed, I mean, on the field, but you still worked in many ways that, you know, helped the smooth running of the operation, which, you know, begs the question that there are a lot of, people and a lot of things that are involved in the smooth running, but even if they're not in part of the, in the ground or on the event and stuff. So basically what I want to ask you is, so this is always evolving, right? You know, what kind of, works you need to do in order to make an event successful. So I would, you know, come to the assumption that the field of sports management is always evolving. There are, you know, trends that come and go.
Yes.
There are, you know, so in terms of that, how do you as a professional stay ahead of that curve? You know, how do you, you know, do you kind of expect that this is in the, this is the kind of, you know, rise that the industry is going through? Or, you know, in just simple words, how do you stay ahead of it? How do you, how do you, you know, manage it?
So I have kept 2-3 rules for me when it comes to being aware of what is happening in the industry. One is reading the newspaper daily.
Right.
I still, every morning, the first thing that I do is directly open Times of India, go to the last page and start reading about sports.
Right.
So that is the one thing that always helps me to keep myself updated of what happened yesterday, what is happening today, and what is going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
So these, so at least the present is what I am more focused on. And secondly, what I do is at the start of the year, I create a calendar for myself where the entire sporting events throughout the year are kept in that calendar.
Right.
So if I know that a World Cup is going to happen in October 2023, which I actually got to know in January 2023. So that is where I started calculating in my mind that if I want to be a part of that event, what is it that I can do now that can help me to reach at that particular stage? And these small things, and also being there on these platforms like LinkedIn, and also continuously viewing websites, CricBuzz, ESPN, CricInfo, FIFA, or all those kind of websites where you will get these right information about the events that are happening, has always helped me to understand where the industry is going.
Right.
I'll give you a small example. Two years before, people were not aware of paddle and pickleball as a sport.
Right.
And now suddenly we have seen there are a lot of tournaments happening. All India Pickleball Association is conducting various tournaments. There are paddle courts that are established, and even paddle tournaments that are happening. And when people actually, when I talk to them about this sport, the first question they ask is this sport happening in India?
Right.
So the reason why the awareness is also not there, because they have not studied about it, the kind of research that needs to be done to keep yourself updated about that. Right. Even that is not there in place today. And this goes with a lot of budding aspirants also, that they feel that when they are into the industry, all the information will come to them.
Right.
That is not the right approach. You should be aware of exactly what is happening, and that can only be done with your own research methods that you apply.
True. And interesting you should bring up pickleball, because another sport that I've seen personally is also coco.
Correct.
Which is, you know, not been heard of, you know, other than those few semi-urban or, you know, places. But now it's a industry in itself.
Correct.
And, you know, it's an ever-growing one. So that brings me to the next question. So you've been freelancing as well in a couple of other institutions. So my question is, right now for a sports management professional, how important is it to freelance? And even before getting into the industry, or even after being a professional and having certain set of experience, is freelancing the future, or is it something that, you know, is just another source of income in terms of being a sports professional?
So people have actually started to work a freelancer on a full-time basis.
Okay.
I mean, if I have to explain it, there are a lot of people who continuously keep on working on events after events.
Okay.
So they are not associated with a particular organization, but they are working on these events as freelancers.
Okay.
Versus what I did was, I still am a full-time employee at IISM, but the kind of opportunities that I had got to work as freelance, I had to discuss it, and of course then I had to take it up.
Yeah.
So this is something that I have to take the like the prior approval and then go ahead with these opportunities. So the advantage of freelancing is that you get your own space as well. You are not bound to work like throughout the year.
Okay.
If you have worked on 2-3 events and you feel that, okay, that is enough for you, then I think you are done for the rest of the year as well.
Right.
But that's the trend that has just started because of the kind of events that are happening.
Yeah.
About, you spoke about Coco.
Yeah.
Ultimate Coco is a tournament that is happening. The second edition just happened. Then there is PKL, ISL. Yeah. Then you talk about WPL, IPL. So the event calendar in the Indian sporting ecosystem has become in such a way that you are sure that you will have an event happening almost every other month.
True.
So if you are working, let's say, on WPL, and supposedly your manager is also working in WPL, and then he or she moves on to IPL, he or she might just call you again for that particular event. So technically you are sorted for those 4 months of the entire year.
Okay.
And that is how freelance in general works, because the kind of network that you make is going to help you to get those events also to work on.
Right.
And that is where what I had thought is, I didn't want to go into freelance or like on a full-time thing, because that did not give me a kind of security that I was looking for.
Okay.
What I wanted is a steady income, and for that I chose to do a particular job in particular. Right. But then at the same time, when I saw that there are a few opportunities that I can try doing it while not affecting the work that I am doing here,
right,
that is the reason why I had taken up those opportunities. So that was the mindset behind doing that.
Right. You spoke a lot about COVID-19, you know, while you were studying, and you know, it kind of hindered your practical learning, but you were into sports management before COVID. So my question is, how has COVID-19 affected the sports ecosystem in India? And, you know, did it have, I mean, now we're almost over all these bio bubbles, and, you know, for a player or even for a management point of view, we're out of the bio bubbles. But there's always that threat somewhere around the corner. We also heard, you know, another new, you know, variant that could have been out there. So in kind of situations like this, where you're not sure, you know, and you spoke about how the industry is, even though it looks big from the outside, it's not really, you know, very well set, and it gives a lot of opportunities for people. So in with that in hand, and also the point that, you know, it's, you know, COVID-19 is always around the corner. What do you see in terms of managing events, major sporting events, right? Do you see that it forms any kind of hindrance, or do you see that, you know, it's really big ocean out there, and this is not, you know, going to affect it?
So before COVID, while everything was going all right, no one thought that there would be a situation where we are going to face something like this. And yes, COVID had a big impact on the industry. There were no sporting events happening throughout for a brief period of time. But then when suddenly, as you mentioned, bio bubble, that was a new concept for everyone. And that is where we also realized that, okay, there are events that can happen with a limited infra, a limited people that are working on that particular sport. Right. But it actually gradually then came back to the normalcy. But one thing that actually happened because of COVID was the rise of esports.
Right.
When people actually started staying home, they realized that the sports is not only about going onto the field. There are these games that people are playing. When we were kids, we used to play cricket or seven, or you talk about NFS. Yeah. And then suddenly these sports eventually became a tournament. Okay. And that led to how esports coming into the picture, and people now play Valorant, PUBG, yeah, and all those things. Eventually that became a whole industry in itself.
Okay.
So people, again, what COVID did was it created that small impact, small or large, depending on who's facing it, but it did create that impact. And then eventually as COVID moved away, and when everything returned back to normalcy, you can see that rise in the sports industry that is happening right now. And that wasn't happening before COVID. Right. So suddenly people have realized that, okay, this industry had that benefit. And again, the point here is that sports as an industry is something that keeps you fit.
Right.
What people actually want to do is keeps themselves fit. And that is what they have realized in COVID. And that's the reason why you can see a lot of marathons happening. You can see a lot of, and all these come under the entire bubble of sports.
That's true.
So yeah, COVID has created that negative impact, but then the rise that we can see in the sports industry, I think we are almost going to reach at a stage where we can also call ourselves like India as a developed sporting ecosystem, what UK, Australia and every other country has maybe already reached.
Yeah.
But we are still into that developing stage.
Right. So you spoke about technology, right, in terms of esports and, you know, the stuff that's been coming up. Do you see any other technology in terms of sports, like, you know, post-COVID or even pre-COVID for that matter, in terms of a sporting management point of view, you know, maybe when you worked in Qatar, or maybe even when you worked at the National Games, or any other assignment of yours for that matter, how important is it to stay in, you know, in contact and in hand with the technology when it comes to sport?
So technology in sport, with the artificial intelligence that has come into picture, the technology in sport has changed the dynamics of how the sport is being played now.
Right.
If you talk about cricket, you have Snicko, you have the DRS, you have a lot more things that go, you have those cameras that you wear on the helmets.
Yeah.
I mean, that has made the game so advanced, but also at the time it has some drawbacks that it takes a lot of time to see whether the decision is right or wrong.
Yeah.
And all those plans that have come into picture, that the over should start within 3 minutes, 5 minutes, the player should come within 3 minutes. So it has those drawbacks also. But what it does is it gives that enhanced experience for the viewer to watch that game, and also for the player to the athlete that who's playing, for him or her to realize what kind of body that the person has. You have those meters that you can tag on your body, on your in your shoes, and all those things. So with AI, what has happened is that sudden change, or that sudden enhancement of how the sport is being played or how the sport is being viewed, that has led to a very dynamic change in the entire sporting industry. Right. And now with every organization who is involved or who is attached to a particular sport, everyone is trying to bring that concept of AI into their culture, because that is how you will always stay in the trend.
It is the future, you would say. So you talk about a lot of changes in a lot of, you know, technology in terms of analytics of cricket or any other sport. Another thing I know about you personally is that you're a huge cricket fan. I've never heard you miss a match. So my question to you is basically, so with so much analysis and you being, you know, when you probably started watching the game, just like all of us, you probably were just passionate and, you know, it's just, it's bat versus ball. But once you start understanding, you know, the details, you know, they say the devil lies in the details. So when once you understand the details, what I want to know is that can you still enjoy a game of cricket just like you used to? Or is that major analysis side of you there, you're like, you know, it's a good length ball, or, you know, how was it played, was the footwork right? Like, does that stay in your head, and does it help in the overall experience of a match when you watch it just as a fan?
No, it definitely does. And as you rightly mentioned, when I was small, when I used to watch and go these IPL games, it was only about fours and sixes,
right?
And then suddenly when you actually start understanding about the game, understanding about the sporting industry, now when I go and watch a particular match, it is not only about watching the match when it is happening, but even before, how many commercials, how many hoardings you can see, which brands are associated.
Right.
So there are a lot of questions that come into mind even before I actually go and sit in the stand to watch that game.
Right.
And then as you mentioned, when I see that game, I try to figure out why that player is thinking like that. Why is he hitting those shots? Why is that captain setting those field? So that has created a very unique experience for me, which actually, now I've realized that I don't need someone along to go and watch a game.
Right.
I can go by myself, enjoy it out entirely, and then just come back. Because, and there are similar people that you are going to meet there.
Right.
And the incident, of course, you also know, because we saw that match together.
Australia-Afghanistan
game. That I remember I had just gone alone, and then suddenly I saw you guys with a whole group, and then we had a group of Afghani people there, and a few Australians who joined us. And that was
experience.
A very great experience.
Yeah.
And I still remember we were not just talking about the match, but we were also looking at the stadium in general, figuring out how Wankhede is during the IPL versus how Wankhede is set up during the World Cup.
True.
And then a lot of brands that are associated. So we had a lot of discussions on that as well. And how Maxwell was playing the game. We were trying to figure out every possible way to get Maxwell out.
Still haunts Afghanistan even today. Yeah.
So that is the thing that has enhanced the viewing experience for me personally also, because I've started to realize and understand the industry in a very different way than what a fan or maybe a kid just goes and watches the game right now.
Right. Also personal view, I think it's a great experience watching the match with Parcher. I think I would recommend it to all of you, all the viewers who get a chance, please watch the match with Parcher. It's a whole different experience. So coming back to IASM, I want to ask you very simple terms, you know, what is the effect that IASM has had on the sports management industry? Because, you know, we're one of the market leaders, you know, in offering sports management courses. So what do you see in terms of, you know, when IASM, you know, and the students and the faculty and everybody who comes in, and as somebody who probably is watching it and is not into IASM yet, and they, you know, they step into this college, what would you, what can they expect more than what should we expect? What can they expect once they step foot into this campus?
So IASM started back in 2010, and then the journey has just been upwards. And today, if you talk about any organization or any decision makers out there in the industry, you will always find an IASM alumni at those positions who are there, who are making that impact in the industry.
They were there at the match as well. Right?
Exactly.
The
they were working at in the World Cup as well. So the impact has been created by our alumni who have been working for so many years in this industry.
Right.
And also, earlier it was just about these volunteering, internships, placements that we used to talk about. But now a lot more focus is also there on the academics that has been continuously happening right since the time ISM started. Okay. And now that focus from academics has also shifted to research-based work. And because the research as a concept in India is very limited when you look at the sports industry, as compared to what I had seen outside in UK or in Australia, the research concept is not as developed as we would expect it to be. And that is where IISM is also putting its hand up and saying that, okay, this is the difference that we are also going to bring in this, the entire ecosystem. And if you talk about what impact we have done, I think it covers all the events that, see, ultimately sports is the events that happen. Like, we all look after these events because, as I said, the ultimate purpose is you want to make these events successful. And then when you look at IPL, PKL, ISL, we have people working in these events through various capacities. Maybe it's freshers, maybe interns, freelancers, or full-time employees. And that's the impact that we have created. And also the fact that when we were talking about 37 national games, IISM was the strategic knowledge and training partner for that event. We created the entire SOP, the standard operating procedure. Yeah. So the kind of module that was created, the SOP that was created, it is such a huge transformation for anyone who actually gets a hand on that to understand how the event of such a big stature is made. And also with the fact that also the Tata Mumbai Marathon just happened, we had more than 170-200 students working in that. Okay. And for the last 2 years, we have been associated with ProCam, and we have created those research and research projects, that social and economical impact, the reports.
Right.
So the kind of reporting, the kind of research that we do, that all has created a very huge impact for the industry, and people have actually understood the importance of these events. And no doubt, IISM, it has also benefited to the students who have been working on these. So yeah, we have had a very great impact on the industry, and the only thing we are trying to do is make that grow every year.
Right. Yeah. Great. As we come to the end of the podcast, you touched on a lot of topics, which could be freelancing and networking and, you know, the different verticals. So my last question to you is mainly for the viewers who are there watching out there, who've not, you know, made any step into the industry yet, but they are really passionate about it. So if you could touch about all these, you know, the freelancing and the networking and, you know, any other aspect that would be really important for somebody who's not started. They just, you know, probably saw this podcast for the first time, or they've, you know, seen an event and they want to be part of it. What would be your initial, advice to them?
I think I just have two very basic advice. One is, do not watch and believe everything that you see on the TV.
Right.
Because if you're watching a particular match and then you're thinking you want to work in sports, that's a very wrong mindset to have. Right. Because that will not take you and give you that satisfaction of what you want to do in your career ahead or in your life ahead. And secondly, get in touch with the people who are working in the industry. They will give you the right insights. They will give you how their journey began, how they thought of coming into this, because those are the kind of questions that need to be answered before you join this course. And that is where you'll actually understand that whether this course is relevant for you or not. I mean, what people have been thinking so far is that people who are unsuccessful or failed in their careers while playing sport are the ones who come into sports. That is not the case. That would have been the case earlier, maybe not, but now it's not the case. Yes. People actually come into this industry thinking that they want to make a career in sports because they have that passion for that game.
Right.
So the only reason why I want to put this point out is that a lot of people I have seen making those mistakes, that they just come into this field thinking that I'll get to manage Virat Kohli, manage Mahendra Singh Dhoni or these players. But that is not the case. You need to have the right knowledge before you get into the industry, or else, again, that's going to be a mistake that maybe, because after this, you might never know what is the next thing that you can do.
Right.
So you need to have that in mind before you actually start your journey. And once you have that clarity, it becomes a lot more easier for you to figure out where you want to actually go.
Right. Great. I think that brings us to the end of our podcast. It's been amazing. It's been really informative and fun. with a lot of personal instances from Patsar. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you.
Thank you so much.
For being on this show. And guys, you can find us on Spotify, YouTube and Amazon Music. Tune in to this show and a lot more we have in the store in the coming days. Thank you and until next time.